Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
It's Joy Celebration, coming up there with Fro van Samaria. And Nhlanhla, if you can go give Dr. J some volume for me, I'd appreciate that. And it is Thursday, and every Thursday run about this time, as you know, we have a moment of prayer and the word with Dr. J. As you heard me say, Dr. J needs some volume on the other side. So happy Thursday if you have just tuned in. Absolutely, absolutely love spending every single Thursday with you. And Nhlanhla is busy sorting us out on the other side for Dr. J and I to have, you know, that prayer moment and conversation. Yeah, looks like we have one there. Yeah, we have one. Dr. J, welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Loka. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
doing good and looking good.
Thank you.
we really made him nervous because outside Nhlanhla and I were going on about how nice and dapper he looks in his black colors.
Yeah, we're trying to always match, you know, we keeping up to the game.
Come on. Relevant pastors.
Relevant. Definitely.
Back in the day, they used to argue about outfits and pastors and believers actually in general.
Okay.
And I remember being a young believer. Fortunately, I'm one of those who grew up in church, got born again. My recollection is the age of 12. But I used to say, if I wasn't born again, and a person dressed that way, you know, a certain way, be like, I wouldn't want their Jesus. So I love it when we still dress nice, respectable.
Yeah.
But hey, represent the kingdom well.
Definitely.
Represent very well. I don't know if you know Zulu. There was a song that says, "No man gqoka amadini," even if I'm wearing, what do they call it? It's not ratchet clothes.
Oh,
but basically,
yeah, the rags.
Ragged clothes, yeah, yes. Yeah. Even if I'm wearing ragged clothes, you know, heaven will accept me. I'm like, no. We're not wearing any ragged clothes here.
Yeah, definitely. We must represent.
We're not going to, depict the kingdom in a manner that says, we must wear torn clothes. No.
I think God is good. God is good enough to dress up because the Bible says if he can clothe the lilies in the field,
you know, how much more
us. And I do believe that in fact there are people who still have some level of challenges, but as much as possible, I always tell them, if God has given you the opportunity, you dress up
well, my friend.
I often tell the guys, you know, just around the church, we have a couple of homeless guys, and most of them give excuses, you know, Pastor, I can't come to church, because the first thing I tell them, look, you come over because we have some clothes for you.
Yeah.
You come over because we have some clothes for you.
So don't make clothes the excuse.
You know, I always love to see the before and the after. And that's a change, that's a metaphorical change of our lives. Because before we knew the Lord, you definitely can put your picture in juxtaposition to when you met the Lord and your new life in the Lord and your very past life. And you realize that indeed God has done something great in your life. And I think that's a journey that we get into, because when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you transition even in your outfit. Oh, come on, somebody.
You know.
You transition even your outfits, because there are some outfits which definitely you put them on in the world and which were quite
happening,
not comfortable. And again, but you realize that since you are a new creature, you are in the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God starts really a transformation from the inside out. And take note, the greatest transformation in the inside is in the inside of a person before it gets to the outside of a person. But the thing is that for church, we want people to be changed sometimes outside.
We focus a lot on the outside.
On the outside, and not realizing that the change which definitely and strategically has to take place must be from the inside out. Mm. And I think this is a huge opportunity for us to really carry on with the topic on Welcome Home with the prodigal son from Luke 15. And we're discussing this really in the light of transformation, because indeed, we're talking of the state of your heart, the condition of your heart, and we highlighting so much what happened around the very proclivity of this young man who gets opportunity to be nurtured in that very extent and that qualification and context by a loving father. And the father is loving. Why do we know that the father is loving? Because the father takes care of his two boys, and also he makes provision even for their future. But it happens that this young man, and you just know the story of prodigal son, and just giving you a summary of it, it happens that this young man, his heart is not so much in what the father has invested. And we get to realize, and that's why I want to examine the state of this guy's heart. Because if you know the state of this guy's heart, then you will start using it in illustration, even in the state of many hearts out there.
Okay.
And I just might be talking to a young man. You think that, look, inheritance comes so easily. But in normal circumstances, it has a price. And that's why we must be able to quantify and qualify it within the very context of this discussion today. There are many prodigal sons, and the prodigal sons in generic also means prodigal daughters, because
we're all sons.
We all sons. We get to the very point where we take decisions for ourselves. We move out of that literal house, parental care, biological about, but we also leave the church. The church also can be that family where we've seen many disgruntled people just leave because of just little things. You can't imagine sometimes, local. I've had a privilege of being in ministry now for over 32 years, and by the grace of God, I've been in church around that period of time.
32 years.
Sure. And I've
seen. You know how old I was then? I was one.
Is it?
No, I was two. I'm actually 34 now. Why am I still stuck on 33?
Oh, wow.
I was two.
You loved it.
Makes a huge difference. Makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
2 years.
You get to realize what very small things, trivial things, which might orchestrate, generate people leaving the church and people just being disgruntled. Sometimes it just might be the sitting position in church.
Yep.
Sometimes it just might be the music in church. You know, some people, I don't like the music. sorry to say, some people, I don't like the pastor.
and some don't like the pastor's wife, but they like the pastor.
They don't like the pastor's wife.
And I still find that very confusing, but hey, it's fine.
You find the very little things which in normal circumstances ought not to take you away from church. But again, it degenerates to the point where you just can't make peace with it, and you decide. And by no means am I justifying the very fact that there are no tensions in church which can also orchestrate to people taking decisions to leave the church. I do believe in Christian counseling. We've gotten there where people have taken decisions either unilaterally but also based on consultation, which I seriously consult, advise that you should consult. The Bible says in the midst of many counselors, there is safety.
Wow.
In the midst of many advisors, there is safety, which means that there are some decisions which you ought to take based on informed counsel, in informed advice, and which if you just take those decisions at the spur of the moment unilaterally, you definitely might face consequences because the intention of the devil is to isolate you from the body.
Yeah.
The intention of the devil is to isolate you from your father.
Sure.
Or your father figure, or your guardianship. And he just wants to take you out. In Campus Crusade, we always give the illustration of the log of wood. You know, you have a lot of wood come together and create a big fire.
Yes.
And that fire is burning that big by virtue of each and every one of us coming together in the light of Hebrews chapter 10. You know, you should spare one another, encourage one another, you know, the gathering of believers as the day of the Lord draws near. And the key word there is we must encourage. In families, we must encourage. I'm talking to somebody's family that is just so much in shreds now. And you're just contemplating, my siblings don't love me. They definitely. I want to tell you, there is room for reconciliation. There's room for coming together and just allow God to have his way. Most often, conflicts arise when personal interests seem to have their way at the very expense of collective interests.
Ooh.
And so the reality about this is that examine yourself, introspect, and check if ever I want to have my way, or I just could allow God have his way in what we want to achieve as a family.
Yeah.
Because selfishness is one of the very cardinal sins in terms of family feuds and divisions. And I want to say this because we're reading in the passage of Luke 15, and we're reading in that very context. We don't know what happened between the young man and his elder brother. We are not told. The Bible is silent. The Bible just tells us that he went out for his own estate. He requested of his own share that the father had kept. What might have led to that? What might have triggered that? We don't know, but there is nothing to suggest that he might have had a conflict with the father. But we definitely can put it in the basket that it just
can be a possibility.
It just might have been, you know, a very abrupt crisis. You know, the Bible is silent on that, but we're saying this because it is a reality in families that when you are angry, you don't take an objective decision.
You remind me, I think you actually attributed to this a couple of weeks ago when you spoke on homelessness.
Yeah.
That sometimes we make these assumptions of what might have led to that.
Yeah.
But until we get to know the real story, it's just assumptions.
It's just assumptions. I do a lot of work on homelessness now and with Pretoria University, and definitely my area of focus and research is around homelessness. And we've come to realize that, one, there are a couple of fingers being pointed around homelessness. But little do you know that if ever you put these people in context, you realize that they are multi reasons that might account even for homelessness.
Yep.
One of which is it might be an economic situation. It might be a situation where somebody is in the qualification of the categorization of homelessness. Somebody might be in near homelessness. It means definitely they don't have any backup plan, and they are just at the verge of losing their job. They are on rent in, rent out, and they don't have savings. And definitely another month you're telling them, we're terminating your contract.
Yeah.
So you put that person in a very precarious situation, because we've seen many, we've heard many who have resorted from their homes to their cars.
Sure.
And they start living in the cars. I think.
And even if you have a car, that's homelessness.
Yeah, no,
you don't have a home. You've got a car.
You've got a car. Vusi Tembekwayo gave that testimony, Steve Harvey and many others.
Wow.
And I want to say it again. This is just a transition to your life. And many people don't know that we define again homelessness or home to be a place of nestedness, a place where you find incubated, you find love, you find peace, you find affirmation, affection, you find identity, originality, and all of that, you know, gives a qualification of home. Because most of us, we've just defined home to be that very physical shelter, but we do not know that people might also have a space which they will call home, because it's a place where they feel loved, they feel affected, affection. You can be in a place which is a house, but you don't feel at home.
Yeah. Yep.
Am I talking to somebody? Yeah. You definitely can be in a house, and a very beautiful house. You just can be in a very, very beautiful house, but you don't really see the expression of love in that mansion, in that beautiful labyrinth. Mm. You don't find the expression of love.
There's no sense of home.
There is no sense of home. And that's why the appeal today on the topic, welcome home, is to say, look, the first welcome home is to Jesus.
Yeah,
because as the first person who incarnates love and who can exemplify love, who can show you the perfect love that you've never had from any human being. And by no means am I precluding the very fact that your parents have the obligation, but sometimes fall short of really exemplifying because they are human, because definitely they are human. And sometimes we define our love by the very material things that we ought to have from them.
Yeah.
And I think definitely some of us, if they don't give me this, I think they don't love me.
Yeah.
Which when you grow up, you get to realize that that's not a true definition of love. A true definition of love is care. It's affection. Yeah. It's being there for someone. Love language for women is presence.
Yeah, definitely.
It's presence. You know, it's just that quality time that you have to spend with your wife. Mm. I know that some people have, you know, gifts as love languages, but I think 80%
of women
just want your presence, because if coming back midnight and you bring a bouquet every midnight,
exactly, like you might as well keep your bouquet.
She just wants you to be there.
And no matter how materialistic, if they truly love, oftentimes at the core of a woman's heart is your time.
And the very definition of presence or quality time, most often men misconstrue it. They think that it's to be physically present.
Yeah.
But we have a definition of practical theology we call the ministry of presence. And the ministry of presence just means be present in her space.
Yeah.
Call her. Check on her. How are you doing?
Yeah.
How is your day? And so she has a backup. She realizes somebody.
And when you haven't called in, it's like, there's something missing.
There's something missing.
Because she's used to the presence anywhere and everywhere.
She's used to that presence. So please, I'm redefining quality time for that man. I know you think she's
just been assisted.
She's just wearing you out. Oh, she wants me all the time around her.
Yeah.
No. She wants you to be present in her space and to mark presence when it is needed, especially when she's going through tough times. If need be there physically, but as much as possible, be there also telephonically. Be able.
Technology has made things easy for you.
To call. And I'm giving a very broad definition in terms of really the state of parenthood, fatherhood, being there for the children. I'm going ahead of myself. I'm even examining the state of the heart of the father. But permit me examine the state of the heart of the son, this prodigal son, the story we know so much. I want to believe, number one, this son had a proclivity towards immediate satisfaction. And look, this is what we always have. The human tendency is insatiable. If you put which just means, satiable just means satisfaction.
Okay.
It just means that if you put up a list and you give somebody 100,000, they'll tell you, look, if you give me 100,000, it will solve all my problems.
Okay.
But little do they know that your problems are bigger than that 100,000.
Yeah.
They're just bigger than that. Because when you put up your list, it might be going to 500,000. And when they give you the 500,000, you just might be going into a million, which means that there is nobody who can really give you satisfaction except God.
We must come
back to that point, except God. God is the one who can fulfill all your heart desires. And I'll tell you this, even husband cannot fulfill them, wife cannot fulfill them, only Christ can be.
Amen.
The very one who will meet up every need of yours according to riches and glory. So the reality is that definitely husband can relatively, wife can relatively, and this is defined within the very context of their ability.
Mm-hmm.
because they have to trust the Lord for supernatural ability to be able to do whatever is limited in their very human context. And that's what I'm saying. Number one, I'm contrasting. This guy had immediate satisfaction. And one thing which plagues youth around this time, local, is that a lot of young people, as I said, their list is insatiable because they always want. They want the fast cars.
Yeah.
They just want the good wheels around them. They want the latest girls around them.
latest gadgets
around them. And they want to spend. They just want to spend. They want immediate gratifications. Mm. It's in contrast to delayed gratifications. I think that's a challenge that we are having here. We having a son who does not delay his very gratification because definitely this inheritance belongs to him.
Come on.
It is yours. I definitely could tell you that it is yours. You instead need to guard it and not to waste it. And so there are moments in your life where you have to postpone because delayed gratification just means there are some things that you need now. Mm. But you don't want now.
You want now, but you don't need now, right?
Yeah, you want now, permit me, but you don't need now.
Okay.
So you want them now, but you don't need them in the immediate. So what happens is that, look, a lot of us, we want to go into whatever we just crave, that appetite in the immediate. Okay, I'm talking to somebody who goes shopping. Permit me. I'm definitely not getting into your space. I'm not stepping on your toes this afternoon. All of us love shopping, especially some of us love window shopping in that qualification.
Window shopping. I hate window shopping. I must have money. I want to go for it immediately.
You might not understand this, local. Window shopping ends up always in shopping.
Okay. No.
Window shopping always ends up in shopping.
As long as it does immediately.
Yeah. So that's what happens. And you have some money. But that money has an opportunity cost. And that opportunity cost is that, one, you have to pay your school fees. Two, you have to take care of maybe some emergencies at home, rent.
Mm-hmm.
But you've seen a very beautiful shoes. And that shoes is half the price, you know, of your rent. And you're telling yourself, man, if I buy this, my mate will heal me. Definitely will know.
And you like drip is forever. You start with the shoes.
You start with the shoes. And definitely you can delay that gratification. Mm. You can postpone that gratification. You can get to the point where you definitely have an opportunity cost. Yeah? And you're telling yourself, is this really what I want at this point in time? Is this really something which is urgent on my list at this very point in time? Or is my rent that important? Is it an urgency?
Is shelter or drip more important? Which one is
shelter or drip more important? My school fees. And permit me use another analogy. And I do a lot of people in terms of financial management and debt management. One thing which I always tell people is that if you have money, try to redeem your debt.
Mm.
Because if your creditor sees you with the latest car and you owe,
they'll go after you.
They'll go after you. And so be wise enough. Whatever you're driving, don't compete with someone.
Mm.
Because I want to read the mind of this young man. It would have been a situation of competition.
Mm.
It's not mentioned in the Bible. It's silent. But he would have seen
other
friends.
Possibly.
He would have seen other friends, you know, going out, living large and thinking, what's happening? Daddy has been delaying giving me this inheritance, this estate. I can't believe.
Why is he not dying soon so I can get it? I want it now.
Why? I want it now because you can't see. My friends are all out there and they're living large. They're having the full of their lives. And I'm still here with you, daddy, and everything. So number one, immediate satisfaction versus delayed gratifications. And so I'm sharing with someone now, please get into delayed gratification. Save your time. Don't envy. Don't compete. Don't jealous. Make sure that you're building a legacy. It's not a short term, but it's a long term vision that you should have. So don't get into debts because you want to put up a very sumptuous wedding.
Hey.
A wedding is for a day and marriage is for a lifetime. And I've had people who've gone to borrow money for weddings.
Some even divorce even before they're done paying for that debt. It gets so sad. Like, I've seen stories on social media. You're like, no, we're divorced and I'm still paying for the wedding bills. I'm like, no.
So you have this contrast that comes your way, and that all qualifies your delayed gratifications.
Yeah.
Look at really what is urgent around your space before you pick up in terms of spending. But this young man also is a consumer, is not a producer.
Okay.
Because we're living at a place, we're living at a point in time when a lot of young people also just want. You know, daddy give me, and he does not join daddy in wealth creation.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing which we have realized with young people. I'm talking to you now, and your plan, your wish, your prayer is that this young man should really understand what I'm planning for his future and shouldn't, because the reality is that if they don't join you in producing, in planning, if you don't take them or carry them, take them along what you're doing, there might be a risk that they will get into a prodigal zone.
Yep.
That they will get into that state of mind where they just want that wealth. They want it as soon as possible.
And you know what's sad with that situation? As you're speaking, I'm thinking, they don't want to be part of that wealth creation.
Mm.
They want to spend what you bring home instead of being part of it. And the truth is, even if you were no more and they were left with that, chances of them keeping that legacy going are close to none.
Are very slim.
Your efforts will still be run to the ground.
Love your analysis on this because that's a spillover. That's a very aftermath of your non-existence. If you're not there, they wouldn't be able to sustain that wealth because they've not been there at the beginning. They've just been receiving. They've just been consuming. They've not produced alongside you. They don't know the hard work, the methodology that comes into, that you've put into even producing that estate. So we're calling on sons to have a shift, and you should be part of the production team.
Come on.
Than just consuming. And I want to say in that vein also, inheritance is good, but inheritance is hard earned. Your dad has not only built a legacy, but it has costed him character to build that legacy. And so what matters so much around inheritance is a character around. And so if dad tells you just wait a little while, it just means that he wants to forge you. If you've watched the movie Forge.
Okay. You know, weird enough, I have, but I never finish it.
Oh, wow.
Something always just distracts me. I need to go back and actually watch the whole movie.
So forging is a key word just to mean discipleship. It just means discipleship. And that's one of the words which I've added here also, that the challenge we're having with prodigal sons is that they don't wait enough to be mentored. And the truth is that we don't have people who speak into our lives now. But again, if we have people who speak into our lives, we don't wait enough for those words to really take root in our lives. Look, I'm talking now. When I was writing this, I think I had in mind young pastors who are under the senior pastors. And because God has gifted them, the immediate one want to leave because they've prayed for somebody with headache and that person has just gotten healed.
And immediately
he goes and opens healing ministry. You know, I went to a country, I wouldn't name that country, and you'll find churches all over the place.
Are you serious? I think I have a clue. We'll talk about it off air.
And immediately, one of the members or somebody under the very auspices and mentorship of the pastor prays for someone who is sick and gets healed. Immediately, you go and open your Healing and Deliverance Ministry Limited. You go all out and you start your ministry. Or if ever God just gave you a word of knowledge, which is different from prophecy, if God
prophetic
just gave you
a
word of knowledge, and definitely you gave somebody a word of knowledge, immediately it comes to pass, and this person says, "Oh man, you can't believe, how did you know my life?" And the next is, I think I'm more than the pastor. I should go out and start my ministry.
I've heard things. I've been in the salvation thing long enough where a person will say, "You know what? He's not even as powerful as men. He's talking about his pastor. You know, the Lord shows me things. He doesn't understand. He's very short-sighted. But the Lord shows me these things."
These are prodigal mindsets. These are prodigal mindsets. And I definitely want to say God puts you under a certain ministry within a period of time, because definitely mentorship has a geography and also has a period. So God might put you within that ministry for a period of time so that you might learn, develop.
Sure.
It's a formative period. It's a time when character has to be nurtured. But some of us are impatient. We are impatient. And permit me, I've been asked so many questions theologically. Why many churches? And I say a lot of churches, one, because of false doctrines. Two, because of impatience of mentorship.
Yeah.
A lot of young people nowadays just believe church is a business. And because they've just had, in quotes, revelation, they jump out and they start their ministry. But they don't know that you have to be called.
You have
to be called. But even if you are called, you have to be trained. Because that's what Elisha went through.
He was in
the very school of prophets
under
Elijah.
Dr. Julius.
And he paid the price still. And that price was still, you see, your master living.
And so he was to wait.
He was to wait. And we don't have that now.
Is this not the prodigal son? He was supposed to wait until.
And that's what happens in ministry. So we have a tendency where a lot of these young people don't want to wait. They don't want to be mentored.
Sure.
And so they are released in ministry without blessings. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody now. I don't know what you're going through your ministry. But please, if you've been praying and thinking of leaving, except the Lord really expressly speaks to you.
Yep.
But if it has come because of your own proclivity, your flesh, your very selfish ambitions and everything, please just wait upon the Lord, you know, because
it doesn't mean you're not called.
No, it just
means. But like you said, there's time.
It's a formative. Formative period that most of us don't want to, you know. It's just a tendency that most of us have that we don't want to stay. And as I conclude today on the state of the heart of the prodigal son, is also to understand that, look, God is so good. That he's always ready to welcome back the prodigals.
Isn't that just beautiful?
It's so beautiful. And permit me, you might be an earthly father also. And we put in that context also, even the mothers, as a parent, you might have been so affected by the very decision of this young man who left ministry. I'm talking to a pastor now. And he's gone out there like a prodigal son, but by the grace of God, he's come back to his senses. Because I wrote on my notes, to say, it is only through prayers that most often you can bring back the prodigal sons to their right minds. It is praying, trusting God. And I think that's what the father was doing. Oh, let the son come back to his senses.
Yeah.
There are many spiritual sons who have left ministry, but they are not doing well. Because under the covering, God kept them holy. But when they started their ministry, you can see debauchery. They go out and their lives are not consistent anymore. But if they come back to their senses and just could return to the father. And I'm praying for fathers now. May God give you a heart to receive prodigal sons.
Come on.
Mothers, may God give you the heart to receive, because there will be many.
With love.
With love.
With love.
Because in fact, that's what consumes. And I was saying it, because God is the very impersonation and the very person who highlights and exemplifies the best kind of love. The agape love is a sacrificial love that even when you come back, the father will still receive you. So I'm praying. I'm praying for somebody. I'm praying for prodigal sons. Come back home because you are welcome home.
Amen.
And I'm praying for your heart. If your heart has been so difficult and so distracted and so consumed with the gratifications of the flesh, may the Spirit of God touch you now wherever you are, son, daughter, and begin to return to your Heavenly Father first, who loves you unconditionally and wants to restore you. But also your earthly father or mother, you've gone out of the house for quite a long time. I'm praying for that street kid who has been out for 18 years. You've been out there on the street. Sure. And God is saying, return home. Come back home. You're welcome home. Father, I'm praying every broken home, broken family, I pray for healing and restoration in relationships now between father, son, daughter, father, mother. Bring healing in that family. Bring healing in that ministry where pastors have been betrayed, senior pastors betrayed, associate pastors betrayed. Father, bring healing and reconciliation in that very ministry, in that space, so that you alone will take the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome home.
Welcome home. I love that it reminds me when we were younger, Dr. J. You know, I come from the villages. And our gran would have us go fetch the cattle and, you know, all of that. If we didn't bring enough sheep or cows on that day, we'd get really into trouble.
Oh, wow.
So my gran would say, eat. Or if you did something naughty during the day, she'd say in the evening, ah, come in, eat, eat. Because the night is coming, and that's where she'll catch you in the night. And so we would run out and stand on the walkway in between two homesteads, and sometimes we'd sit there, it'd get dark, and we'd be scared.
Oh,
and I think sometimes she'd really feel for us. She'd always come out and say, "It's fine, come home, come in, get inside the house. I'm not going to do anything to you." So maybe you thought things were going to go really haywire. Come home. Come home. Thank you so much. God bless.
God bless you.
Be doers of the word with 657 AM. Sounds of Life.
Thola inkuthazo yakho nokuphakanyisa kanye nokuqiniswa imihla namalanga ekhasini lethu leFacebook. Hlanganyela nomphakathi weRadio Pulpit kuFacebook.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
As easy as the touch of a button. The Message of Life on 657 AM.
You and 657 AM and Life. A winning team on the road to eternity.